So I figured we'd talk about this week's Parsha. Parsha Teruma. Truma. So you want to go ahead and, I just, in general, I thought that the clay Migdash, the vessels, the utensils of the Migdash are often understood, overlooked, viewed as boring.
Screw you, scarlet wool, turquoise, agraman, kela, I don't even know.
Argaman.
Arut. My pronunciation of these words are awful.
Got you. Okay, well, it can be complicated. I just wanted to share some
Scarlet wool.
We're not doing scarlet wool today, but I just wanted to shed some light on some of the vessels and to realize that we can learn things from it. We don't have to skip that to look for it. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of times Moadim will come up in these parshas or other man-to-man or human-to-human mitzvahs will show up. It's not entirely. It's just the major themes. But we don't have to skip it, so I just thought it would be good. So let's go ahead. I think this is pretty foundational for them.
Sure.
You'll tell me whether or not you agree. Let's go ahead. Shmo, Chaf, Hey, Pasuk Tet, 25.
Exactly as I show you the pattern of the Mishkan and the pattern of all its furnishings, so shall you make it. Oh, I remember when I read this. I remember it. It says, so shall you make it.
Mm-hmm.
So Hashem is basically telling Moshe, I think, like, I'm the architect. I'm giving you the design. You're the engineer. Go make it.
Okay. I mean, it's going to get complicated with Bezalel later on. Yeah. And the other, there's Sukkim, let's say, all of Bnei Yisrael did it. Okay, but yes.
But Hashem is saying to you, as in, well, let's see what the words in the text say. It says, Kol kala v'chein tasu. So how would you translate chein tasu?
That you should do it, meaning either he appoints someone to do it or he does it. Meaning,
well, you is in the... I learned in Hebrew that you over here is in the plural. So it's not just saying you.
Right.
You as in Jewish people.
Yes, okay. For sure. But who is included? That's the question. But it's a separate question for later on. Because we'll see later on, different parts. It says Bezalel is the one that designed the Mishkan. It says that Bnei Yisrael did that. So there's a Ramban that addresses that issue. But with regards, yes. So the people are involved in making the claim.
Exactly.
Okay. So then the question is, what is this pasuk telling us? It says the pattern for the tabernacle and pattern for all its furnishing. So how do you make a clay mikdash? How do you make a vessel? Do you make a utensil? What specifications do you use?
What we talked about, it says gold, it says copper, and it says
are there specific? Is it like making
a menorah? Yeah, specific. Yeah.
It's not general.
It's got to be specifically gold, silver, copper. And we talk...
And heights, lengths, widths.
Yes, very, very detail-oriented.
So it's not just make a menorah and you decide what you do with it.
No.
Okay. Great. So Rashi on this, he quotes a Gemara. He says that, what does this pasuk tell us?
Oh. And so shall ye make it, also in future generations, if one of the vessels is lost, or when you make for me the vessels for the house of eternity.
Okay. What halacha do we learn now from this pasuk, according to Rashi, according to Gemara?
Could it be telling us that? I'm not sure.
Okay, well.
Mikvah?
In future.
The vessels and the. Yeah.
Well, in future generations, why do we need any recourse to future generations?
There's the Beis Hamikdash comes.
Okay, the Beis Hamikdash, in addition to... But aren't they already making the clay Mikdash that will go to the Beis Hamikdash? You make a menorah, you have a menorah. You make the Lechem Aponim tables. Why do you need to make another one? You already have one. Do you ever need to make another one?
No.
So what if it gets lost or broken? Not lost, but if it gets broken...
You gotta know how to fix it. You gotta know how to...
Fix it. Okay, what if it gets... Okay, so that's a good question. I don't know the halacha, whether or not you can fix it. But with regards to... Let's say you need to make a new one. So utterly broken. Or let's say you're not allowed to fix it, you need to make a new one.
Okay.
How do you make the new one?
Different
dimensions? Same dimensions? Similar dimensions?
Same exact. Same pattern, I would think.
What pasuk do you learn that from?
So shall you make it.
This pasuk.
Fantastic.
Right. Okay.
So we're saying that this teaches us that for when we talk about the Mishkan and Shiloh or in general, like this is the format for generations. That's where we learn from.
Yep.
as a standard format for all the Kalim for all eternity?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, makes sense?
Yeah.
It would be kind of weird to say that you make it a certain specification, and then
only
once
for
it breaks...
this time period.
Like, yeah.
No, all time period.
So you have a menorah that is a certain measurement. It breaks. Do you think it would make sense to just replace it with any kind of menorah you want?
No.
Okay. So it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. So let me ask you the question then that's going to be bothersome. What about the anointing?
The anointing that they put on people? Or
so all the clay mikdash were anointed before their usage. So and I have a raya for you. It's a straight pasuk. Third source. In Shemot 49.
You shall take the anointing oil and anoint the Mishkan and all that is in it. To consecrate it and all its furnishings so that it shall be whole. So we're taking that literally?
As opposed to, it's saying you take anointing oil and anoint it.
Maybe everything that deserves to be anointed, like the menorah. Like we're saying that everything, and we're saying once or in general. Like,
so are you saying? Is your question like, do you have to oil the floor? Is that your question?
Yeah. Oh, so, it's two parts. That's my question. And are we saying that they do it every day? They or they anointed it once?
Okay,
and like that's it.
So this is at the initiation.
Okay.
That's the pasuk's dealing with. I didn't even think to bring the before or after. Sorry. It's dealing with the initiation of Mishkan.
Sure.
And that is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do this, to anoint them with the oil, and including the clay mikdash. So furnishing means the clay mikdash that are in it. So do they oil the floor? I doubt it. I mean, I don't know enough of the lechas of the mikdash.
But everything in it.
But everything is. So the clay mikdash.
Well, clay means clay. It means like objects. Like,
mm-hmm.
I understand. Like they probably didn't put oil on the curtains either. That's not a clue.
Yes, that's a good point.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, that would seem very unlikely, but
I think they may have put oil on the hooks or put it on the loops.
Okay, I got
you. I think I understand.
But whatever was, let's go with this. Whatever was anointed with oil.
Yeah.
Let's say it broke. You need a new one. You make a new one according to what specifications?
What we just learned, what Hashem told Moshe.
Same exact ones as the first, right?
Same format, yeah.
Okay. Do you anoint it with oil?
Seemingly, yes.
It should be the same specifications,
right? Same format.
Okay. The problem that we would have that makes the most sense...
We don't have the oil.
Oh, no. The Gemara tells us how to make the oil. The Rambam tells us how to make the oil. But the problem is the Gemara is against us. And we generally like to be... in line with the Gemara, no?
Sure, yeah.
Or at the very least, understand what the Gemara is saying, but in line with the Gemara. Okay, source number 4. Rava raises an objection from a Braisa. He says, with regards to all the utensils that Moses fastened, Moshe fashioned their anointment with the sacred oil is what consecrates them. So Moshe consecrated them. From that point forward, there is no need for anointment, but rather their service in and of itself dedicates them. So, it's not talking, Rava's not saying that, and the Gemara goes back and forth, but apostles like this, the Rambam apostles this.
Sure.
So it says that the initial clay mikdash needed anointing, and of course you don't anoint it every day forth. It's not talking about the same clay mikdash. It's talking about if you have a new one.
Yeah, you got to anoint it.
So the Gemara is saying you don't. It says, how are they kadosh? The pasuk anoint them and it'll be holy. So how do they become quote unquote holy or dedicated? It's through their service.
But there's an inherent, but once they were dedicated, once they were anointed, assume that they would be used for the service, they don't need to be anointed anymore. Only if they're being used for service.
Like, you remade the menorah, you anointed it with oil, it's used for the base of Mikdash. Right?
Good.
Okay. Menorah breaks, need a new menorah. Do you need to now anoint that new menorah?
No.
And what are you saying?
I'm saying through this.
Are you giving a reason, or what are you doing? You're giving a reason.
Happen.
An explanation, or just describing what's happening.
I think that, from what I understood, is that because Moshe anointed the initial Kalim, and all Kalim are like...
Go for it as Kalim.
Kalim. All Kalim are good for the rest of the time.
And then the reason for that is because it's not, they're not new anymore. Doesn't matter if it's a new version, it's going to be used for the same service. Therefore, it's not a new service.
Okay,
it's
that's
just
beautiful.
A different. So that's the way I would see it.
That's beautiful. Okay.
So, but I would ask you the question then, why isn't it enough then to just anoint the Kohen or Kohen Gadol? Why do you also have to anoint the vessels if it's purely about using it for the service? Meaning the later vessels aren't going to get anointed. They are consecrated. They are deemed separated through their usage. So why shouldn't the first?
Well, you're saying in comparison to a Kohen Gadol, who every new Kohen Gadol got anointed?
I'm saying in comparison to the initial vessels. Initial vessels are anointed. What's the reason, according to your reasoning, if it's merely about the service? Isn't the person who anointed doing that?
Well, are you saying, why does the service matter if the person doing it is doing the service, not the vessel?
Yeah, so why do you need a... Aren't you saying that it's the service versus the vessel? So if the service is just the same service as before,
yeah,
and that's the reason you don't need to anoint it, why do you anoint it in the first place if the one who's doing the service is the one anointing?
So you're saying, why wouldn't the new person doing the service every time have to be anointed? If that's
no, why anoint the vessels at all? Why anoint them in the first place?
Because we said that you have to make them holy. And we described that as anointing it with oil. Doesn't mean, per se, that everyone... I think that this whole initiation, inauguration, kind of just like sets the tone. Just like we don't make changes about the shapes or the size. So too, no one has to do the oil anymore because we did it now. Like we did it now and it's there forever.
But you are changing. The first vessels are anointed and these ones aren't. That is change.
No, but I'm saying we don't have to. Just because this inauguration took care of it.
But what does that mean it's inaugurated for the future? It's a new vessel.
But it's all part of the same thing.
What's the thing? What pronoun are you using?
Part of this. Since the initial Kalim were anointed, it's as if all Kalim were anointed. All future
Kalim. Why
just
not
as
one?
The shapes and sizes, so too all.
So why? Well, no, okay. So does that mean future Kalim could refer to the original ones? Menorah has very specific identity. So according to that reasoning, the second Menorah you make, it could be any dimension you want because it just refers back to the first.
Well, it has to be the same as the first. But it's...
Well, if that has to be the same, why isn't the anointing the same? You're saying, well, my two questions are, number one,
okay,
why not just anoint one vessel and say this is anointed for all of them?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And number two, you're saying that you can't change it, but we are changing about the anointing's changing.
Well, you can't just do one vessel because it says in the pasuk you got to anoint all.
Absolutely. We have to follow the halacha. My question is what's the understanding of the halacha? For certain.
Sure.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, I would think that your answer, you can't abandon it just because so first and foremost, an answer may not necessarily resolve all difficulties.
Okay.
But if there's
a svara,
if there's a svara that fits
it.
In, first of all, don't abandon it, but if it fits in with a lot of principles, it's something to hold on to, and you might have to tweak parts of it, but don't abandon it. So I'm very much with your svara, and I think your svara answers all those questions.
Which
so the ikker is, which I think you said, but I don't think you've emphasized, maybe I'm wrong, the new initiation. What's the purpose of the new being important?
Because the new is the standard.
It's the standard, so how does that affect, we still have to keep the same vessel measurements for the second sets and the third sets and the fourth sets?
Exactly.
It's not enough to just refer back to the first?
It's not referring back to the first, we're saying this is Shem said, shall you make it for eternity?
Right.
These are the vessels we're anointing them. This holiness, whatever it is, it's carrying over eternity.
Okay. And
so we don't have to anoint it anymore. We don't have to come up with new shapes and sizes and next generations because on that day everything was established. Just like in the Gemara when it says the Kayem Hayom or something in the Mishnah where it says like that specific day with Rabbi Gamaliel.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? So too.
It's a few times, yeah.
Inauguration. Okay. Boom. on that day. It was established.
Okay.
We don't have to.
But then we go back to the problem of it was established on that day to anoint them. Why not anoint them later?
Because it says we anointed them.
Anointed them.
As in we don't have to anoint. I feel like Hashem would tell us to anoint them in the future if we had to.
No, 100%. The halacha is clear. We don't anoint them in the anoint them in the future. The question is, what's the reason for that? So, it might have sounded a lot of circular because the vessel's a lot, but
yeah.
So I think your answer answers everything. First of all, the new. What is the new? The service is the new. So the vessels need to remain the same, even when they're broken. But the anointing doesn't have to continue. How come? Because the vessels themselves have to remain the same, but the anointing isn't a part of the vessel. The anointment is part of the service. We're saying this specific vessel is for a specific service. As you pointed out, this service is now initiated.
Yeah.
And this is initiated for eternity.
Yeah.
So the vessels are connected to the service, but They are separate.
Connected, but separate. But they have their own kedusha level.
They do.
So they all have to be anointed. They had to be, like, what you were saying before, that they, why not just do one, since if it's all the Caleb? They all have their own special, like, kesher.
Yes.
So that's why they all have to be anointed in their own way.
But what's they? Each individual service.
Yes.
Is required to be appropriated. And you have to focus and say, this, we're consecrating the menorah because we're doing this service in the base of Mikdash or the Mishkan. We're doing this service with regards to the Ketorah. We're doing this other service with regards to the Mizbeach. But moving forward, when you replace an item, you're not replacing the service, you're replacing the utensil.
And the utensil is secondary.
Utensil secondary. It's connected.
I think I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I think we're saying that, like, you're constantly, anoint each vessel, you're kind of diminishing what the purpose for it is. It's like, it's just a vessel. Like, obviously we're using it to I'd say, like, to honor Hashem, but at the end of the day, it's like you said, purpose. It's about the service. And it's about what it allows you to do. And we don't constantly anoint it because it's not that important, to be honest. It's about the service. It helps you do something else, but it's not. You know what I'm saying?
Like, not thicker. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
That's what I got from what you were saying.
Yeah. So I think two essential points are important of what you're pointing out. One, it's the service that is constant.
Yeah.
Just because the vessel breaks doesn't mean the service ends. That service is attached to the service of Moshe Rabbeinu. As Rabbi Fox points out in Seattle, that this is connecting it. Had we to re-anoint it, it's like we're starting a new service. But that's not what the Torah is doing. The Torah all stems from Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're connecting this service is the same as when Moshe Rabbeinu instituted it. Or when God gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu to institute. And so we're connecting that too. And number two, a point you're making, which I made a point as well, is it furthers us from holding on to the objects, both physically and metaphorically.
No, and that, I think that's a big problem with our generation.
Yes,
I mean,
what happens? What do people do?
It's about the big shul, or it's about the nice lulav, or it's about the
nice
talis, or whatever it is, and like it's not about what you actually do. It's about
if you're ignoring your tefillah while you're wearing that super fancy talis,
what is it? Yeah, that's literally what Rashi says when it says the asuli mikdash. So make for me a mikdash. Rashi says like or stone kumash had like this little note. It said like you can make the most elaborate shuls. But if it's not like its purpose is not for Hashem, then it's like it's nothing.
Beautiful.
And I think that's what I'm when I hear like
right.
Like I'm a big picture guy. Like I take this year, like I learned, I can give it over, but like the big picture I took from this is more like it's not about the Caleb, it's about the service.
Now that doesn't mean that there aren't very many halachas related to Clay Mikdash and that they're not important.
There are.
Absolutely, but the direction, the focus. What's the focus? What's the direction? As
service.
You pointed out,
and it's hard.
And then,
I definitely struggle with going.
Okay.
Of like kind of just like understanding it. Not of understanding it. Honestly, I'm kind of a hypocrite because I haven't really done much research into it, but like it's supposed to, I don't know. It's like, I don't even know what to say. Like,
do you feel like there are a lot of mitzvot?
Yeah, there's some.
There's 613 now.
I'd say after I, wait, what do you mean, some mitzvot in general? Or?
No, there are a lot. Do you think there are a lot of mitzvot?
Yeah.
Do you think there are even more halachos regarding those mitzvot?
Yeah.
So, do you think it's just possible you're human?
Yeah.
You just haven't, you're, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to hypocrite? Okay.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Okay, good.
I like that.
Okay, good. And then a really quick, that's the end of this idea, but a really quick Ralbag. Oh, and sure. The Rambam, I was showing the Rambam on the source sheet, and just the Plaza Aloha. But a really quick Ralbag, I think, is just another aspect of the vessels, and just super quick and awesome. The Pasuk says in 25:15 that the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark, they shall not be removed from it. So the ark, they would carry around the, there'd be four different people carrying.
Yeah.
Medrash says that the ark carried the people didn't carry the ark. So there's an Isser D'Oraisa, one of the 613 mitzvot we just talked about, includes a prohibition to remove those poles when it's stationary.
How to carry it?
Once it's put down, meaning they use their poles to carry it, but once they put it down, they're unable to take out the poles.
Oh, so that'd be an Isser D'Oraisa. The poles are always there.
So the poles, the way it works is that they go across,
yeah,
and
sure.
They go through the loops.
Okay.
And the poles are removable, that you could theoretically take the poles out. It's stationary. You put it down.
But you don't.
But you don't.
It's always, the poles are always there.
The poles are always there. Not because of physically they're always, they need to be there. It's because of the Isser D'Oraisa, the prohibition to remove them.
Okay.
So it's a seemingly funny Isser D'Oraisa to remove the poles.
What's the big deal? Like,
why is that a problem? So the Rabbag explains that the ark represented the Torah. The Torah is perfect. Therefore, the ark must always be perfect. With the removal of the poles, the ark would no longer be complete. An incomplete Aaron is unfit to represent the Torah. So the Rabbag is saying that if you took out the poles, it's no longer the Aaron. It's the Aaron minus, the Aaron lacking. That the definition of the Aaron includes the poles.
I see it. This is what I'm taking from that. So we're kind of throwing in both. We're throwing in that what you were saying before about the focusing on the service, how that's like the ikar, not the vessels, but still got to pay attention, just as like an Aaron is not complete unless, like, even if it's like the nitty gritty details of like paying attention to the poles, there's still. It's not complete, just as in, like, with the laws of these Kalim, you know, with, like, look, are they the Iker? No, but you're not complete unless you follow those as well. That's what I see from the Rabbi.
I hear it. That's funny. I think I'm going to be going in the exact opposite direction.
Oh, really? Okay, sure.
Because my question, or Fox's question, is the Aaron is the Aaron and the poles are the poles, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be more complete to, once you travel with the Aaron, you reach your destination, you put the Aaron down, and then you remove the poles from the Aaron? We literally have different words for it. There's the Aaron, and there's the poles. The Tabaot are the poles. The Aaron is the Aaron.
Okay.
These are the poles of the Aaron. So isn't the Rabbag's approach saying that it must remain perfect the opposite of what the Pasuk's doing, what Isser's doing? Meaning the poles are an adornment. They you need them to carry the Aaron. But
they're not supposed to be permanent. They're supposed to be stationary, kind of.
What's supposed to say? The Aaron?
No.
The poles.
The poles. But they're becoming permanent. Like,
they're becoming permanent. So the question is why?
Yeah.
Meaning
why?
There's poles, there's the Aaron. Why?
Why not just let it go? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Well, if the poles are supposed to meant to carry it because it's stationary,
yeah.
Because it's temporary, why are we making these poles permanent where you can't take it out?
Yeah. Excellent cue. I like that cue. Same cue I had in the end. So, Ray Fox explained the Ralbag. That's what one would assume. You read the pasuk, that's what one would assume, that there's the Aaron, there's the poles. But that's not what the Isser is telling us. The Isser is telling us that the Aaron itself is meant to be moving. It's not stationary. People had to be, there was no set schedule when they were going to travel. The Aaron was always on the move. And the Rabbag is saying, the Torah is always on the move. You take the Torah wherever you go. So inherent in the definition of the Aron includes the ability to move it around. And that's why the poles have to remain there, because otherwise you would think erroneously that the Pasuk seems to be saying that there's the Aron and there's the poles, but they're not connected. One is just to help the other, as opposed to the Ravag explaining, no, this Issur D'oraisa is telling us that they are connected. It's essential to the definition of the Aron to include the poles.
Because it's always moving.
Because it's always moving. The Torah is always portable. You take it wherever you go. You take it to the Beis Medrash, you take it to your school building in Belfer Hall. You take it wherever you go. And without the poles, and if the poles were able to be removed, it would teach you an opposite lesson, that Torah is stationary. Torah is not stationary.
Boom.
Shabbos.
Did I tell you that I finished...